Hey, so
yeah,
you are good to go. Welcome to Tetani Tavias. It's your host, Fisherman's Friend, and we got on my left, Contact Plastic.
Why and on my left?
On my right, we have Tips.
Sup?
Sup? So, of course, today we have a special guest on the show.
Yeah.
Mr. Vintage for the... No, not for the winner. Fuck the world!
What's up? What's up, brothers? Thank you guys for having me, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Praveen.
Yes.
Your band came back to life after
years.
Yeah,
bro. Fuck so, yeah, man.
Please do enlighten us. Let's take us way back to the beginnings, your humble beginnings.
Dude, yeah. Just let me introduce that.
So basically our band name is Heaven Brought Me Hell. We started playing I think, if I'm not mistaken, in 2007 2008.
Ooh, timer lah.
That's about 10 years ago, bro.
Yeah, it's about exactly 10 years actually to this year lah. Yeah, so pretty fun times. We started in secondary school, then slowly progressed, because I got my first guitar in secondary school and found them. Mm. And they pretty much, I found my drummer and my other guitarist, Haritz. They were fucking, they already had a band before that called Shame for Fame, which was a punk band.
Phew.
And, nice. Yeah. Yeah, and like.
Lama, Shame for Fame.
I got a question though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you even came up with the name Heaven Broken Hell?
Oh, yep. That one actually, I really don't know, man, because that story, it comes from both from them when I wasn't in the band at that point in time.
Oh.
Yeah, so when they had Chimp of Fame, I was in class, and then they found out I started playing guitar. So they were like, hey, we need another guitarist, you want to join us? And I'm like, I don't even play guitar, bro, I don't know how to play yet. And they're like, never mind, like, we'll teach you, you just join us. And I was like, yeah, sure, thank you guys. So they pretty much taught me. I mean, we started jamming together, and then Haritz, the other guitarist in HBMH, is also my guitar teacher. So he taught me everything I know about reading tabs and stuff like that.
Yo. And you were the young grasshopper.
Yeah, pretty much.
At first, what else music y'all were covering or playing?
With Shame for Fame, all the classics, like, you know, the Used, Taste of Ink, that song. Yeah.
Pass, man. My God.
Yeah. Then Cranberries, the Zombie, that song.
My God, we are all fucking boomers, man. I was a millennial. We are actually fucking boomers. Fucking 10 years ago. Okay, so like, Heaven Brought Me Hell, when I heard of y'all first, gave me the whole, there is a hell. There is a hell. What, the BMTH album, lah.
Yeah.
So like, that's super long, man.
I had the album in my head the moment I heard about Heaven Brought Me Hell.
So that's pretty cool, man. So it's one of my favorite albums.
Y'all were okay. Like, so how many members are in your band right now?
Now we have 5 of us left. So it's me, I play guitar. Then Benson who plays drums. Aritz plays guitar. Hyril who plays guitar as well. He is the younger brother of our vocalist Hyril, who writes lyrics and everything.
The prodigy,
Yeah, man. Hyril is. He's 16, man. And he's a good kid. He's like, just go to school, come back home, practice guitar. He started pretty young, man. I think he started when he was like fucking young. I think like maybe 10 or 11.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was just playing.
Let me eat cuts, yeah.
I 10 years old. I just learned my PP can get hard.
Fun times, man. Discovering times. That.
I know. I had fun also.
What? Was it like an epiphany? You're like, oh my god, what is this?
Yeah, like the moment.
It's a new superpower, lah.
Like my moment of clarity. Yeah. So okay. So Heaven Brought Me Hell was
everything
a
makes
band...
sense now.
Okay, so Heaven Brought Me Hell were y'all did do gigs before, lah.
Yeah. We gig quite a lot actually back then when we were playing time. I mean regularly. We played my favorite place to gig was Black Hole. That place was
old school, bro.
Yeah, bro, fucking legit place.
Where was this place?
Oh, Black Hole is at I think in between. It's at Jalan Besar there.
In between my legs.
It's like the outskirts of Little India. It's yeah, in man. Between one of the shop houses there.
It's in the nice. Alley, like the Ulu fucking alley. You have to walk inside.
Back then, like, the gigs were all, like, a mixed genre. Like, you will have your hardcore kids, you have your post-hardcore scene kids, you will have your pure metal heads, you will have your punk guys. It was a wholesome gig. And it's damn affordable back then.
Yes,
$8, $10 gig. Sometimes it even can go down to $5.
Last time, police wear short pants also.
No, that was the era how I found out about Praveen. Because we played in one gig together.
Oh, seriously, which gigs, huh?
When one timer meets another.
It was
timer.
I can't remember the gig name lah, but it was at chapter. No, is it chapter 220? No, I can't
chapter
remember.
Six.
I think so. It was at Little Internet. My band, I was playing rhythm back then for this band called Dispatch. They're macam heavy metal band lah. So after
Dispatch
the
what?
Gig, Dispatch, just Dispatch, like D-I-S-P-A-T-H. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Okay.
With my Simon, he's an Angmo guy. He was my lead singer. Then drums were Mr. Yugesh. Then yeah lah, got Shankar and Ruben. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'm so sorry, bro. I don't really remember that gigs here.
Yeah, I remember it because one of your friend come and talk to us like, "Hey guys, I think y'all should do recording. Y'all got here white noise." So I was like, "Why?" Then that's how I know about you. Then one more gig I also met you is at Home Club that is now.
Home Club was so much fun, bro. That fucking gig, mosh party.
Yeah.
That gig series was so much fun also.
Yeah.
So
So y'all went on hiatus or y'all like just like due to other personal
commitments.
Responsibilities and commitments, y'all like close down the group or y'all like legit just went on a hiatus knowing full well down the road y'all will come together?
Okay, so to explain that, to answer that, right, it's a bit of a short story, lah. So I explained to you all the timeline.
Okay.
So the timeline was when I mentioned earlier in secondary school, we were in the band. After secondary school, that band eventually formed, like, we had a new lineup and stuff, and then we called ourselves Roosevelt's Vengeance.
All I can think of is President Roosevelt.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's where it came from. Like, just you know, the name is cool. And then, like, just we need something to make it a bit edgy, you know, edgy. So we put in Vengeance and we're like, yeah, sounds pretty fucking legit. We just use that name. And then our first show was at this show called Groovy Wednesdays. It was at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday evening, or at night, like, what time is 8 p.m.? And there was like six people
in
the crowd.
Evening somewhere else in the world, lah, so you're somewhat right.
Yeah, pretty much. Lah. So it was six people in the crowd and it was fucking fun. It was still damn fun. Lah. It was our first time playing and everything. And then so from there, we started like really taking it seriously and jamming every week and trying to book as many gigs as we could.
Nice.
And we continued playing. I mean, it was a lot of fun. Lah. It was like, it was so much, there was so much passion, you know, and like belief in the dream at that point in time. Like there is now also. Like. So then we continue playing for quite a while. And then like as with all bands and almost any kind of relationship, because you know when you're in a band, you're in a relationship with like five other people or four other people at that point in time. So there will be issues and stuff that come up, sometimes internal, sometimes external. So at one point in time, I decided that I needed to leave the band. So I left and then they continued on for a while. And throughout that period, the band name, they went through the whole shift, so the name changed again and there was a lineup change and then it became Heaven Brought Me Hell. But I mean when I left, it wasn't necessarily on like very bad terms, like it was still like we were still always friends and stuff. So I remember sessioning for them for one show as well, playing bass. It was fucking fun. And then when I came back, we were in the band, we started making music again. And we were like, the sound from the time we started until then completely changed. Like before, we were like really just focused on like metalcore stuff and like, you know, like a lot of like the inspirations that we listened to, like SLA Dying and Trivium and and all those kind of Avenged Sevenfold, of course, and those kind of bands. So when I came back, then I was just blown away by what these guys were doing. They started fucking go orchestras and shit inside the song.
Oh shit! They Symphony like... of Destruction, bro. That one.
And it was really fucking fun shit. Like, and then they had like 9-minute songs and stuff. So obviously when I came back, the song was called Heaven and Hell. It was so much fun. All of which was being recorded with Tarmi at that point in time. And then I think for a while after, like we kept recording songs with him. Mm-hmm. And then somehow in the end of the day, school got in the way. So I had to stop studying with them again. I mean, stop playing with them again. Because I needed to focus on my studies. Because I was like, I stayed back 1 year because I got expelled when I focused too much on the band. I was focusing too much on playing guitar and on the band, and I completely neglected my studies. So I got expelled, and then it caught up to me, so I couldn't play them anymore. Mm-hmm. And then we came back, and then after that, at the end of the day, I'm not really sure what happened when they carried on. I mean, again, it wasn't bad, like on bad blood or anything. Yeah. They carried on, and then I left. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not too sure what happened, but I think eventually, growing up, especially in Singapore, you got a lot of other commitments and responsibilities. Yeah. So it kind of like slowed down, and then there was no news from HBMH for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it all came back together when my drummer Benson, he got married and he had his housewarming party because he got his new house, right? His new home.
Mm-hmm.
So we all went over for the housewarming party, just, to congratulate him and see him again and everything. And and it became like this fucking fun reunion for all of us to meet again. Mm-hmm. And then he showed us his room. Like one of his rooms in his place, which is the fucking legit and most awesomest fucking recording studio I've ever recorded in my life.
How much expense, yeah?
Oh, I don't know, bro. I think the valuation of the equipment and stuff yesterday is around 20-30k
worth of equipment.
Yeah. But I mean, he worked hard, man. He worked damn fucking hard from since we were young, since we started the band. He would always collect all the rigs and anything he could use for the studio,
Dude, and he's one crazy-ass drummer,
Yeah, man. He's completely agree, man. Yeah, he puts in a lot of work also, and he's a very talented drummer. And on top of drumming, he's his ability to compose and write songs also is fucking legit. His sense of melody is really, really good. That's he's a big part of all the orchestral stuff you hear now in our songs.
Yeah.
A lot of it is his arrangements and the kind of melodies he thinks up and stuff like that. And then whenever he does something like that, we work around that melody and try to figure out how to fit in all the other parts of the song. I mean, all the other instruments as well. So he came back to the reunion, and then when he showed us the studio, we were all fucking blown away. So we were like, "Hey, let's just jam a song."
Enthusiasm kicked in,
Yeah, man. Exactly.
The drive to bring it all together came back,
Yeah, pretty much. Cause we jammed one song, and then we were like, "Wow, man!" All of us looked at each other like, really fucking miss this, man. And then we're like, let's just fucking do it.
So it's we decided to start your long lost girlfriend,
Yeah, man. It really is.
Girlfriend.
I don't know.
Why you lost your girlfriend to begin?
I don't know. Maybe your family has some issue with her. Then you guys break up. You all still love each other, but because of external factors, then you all reunite after 10 years. The one that got away,
Yeah, star-crossed lovers, man.
Yeah.
We all found each other again.
Okay,
enlighten us with your newer stuff. So after you guys form, what make y'all to write songs again, and what's your inspiration behind the songs, and what are you guys even playing now? Are you guys still consider metalcore?
There's three questions. Let me try and answer it.
That's what I was going to say.
What was the first question again? Yeah.
What made y'all to do music again? It's after the reunion, right? So y'all shook some DD, y'all like, you should write back again. But what made y'all to choose this type of sound? Because you guys were known to be this metalcore. Your sound changed so much.
Yeah, I agree.
And is it because of, what's the inspiration behind this album?
I think for the sound-wise, what made us want to continue making music was just that first reunion again, the feeling of, making music was so much fun. And I think more importantly, it was about making music with each other. Because for as long as we've been a band, we've been friends longer than that. You know, we all grew up in the same school, secondary school, except
hashtag
our ex-bases.
Hashtag making Yishun great again.
Yeah, man, Yishun represent. Right? Yeah, so we all came from Northview Secondary School. Except our ex-bassist Anik, who was from Yishun Town. Then,
I'm wondering where the fuck you come from. What the fuck was that?
That's so random, just one guy out of the...
Yeah, I mean, that's just universal redirection, you know what I mean? Somehow he found his way to us. And mm-hmm. and yeah, so it was a lot more about all the things we've gone through in the past 10 years and everything we had when we first started, like, what we believed in.
Mm-hmm.
And in that reunion also, it all came back, like, and like, so when that vibe was still there, you know, it never changed. Everyone could still like riff off each other, and we could like come up with things like with each other on the spot that was like pretty cohesive, I guess the word is.
Yes.
And so that pretty much spurred on like a passion there, where after a few days after that, I think it was Haritz or Benson, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But one of them sent like this very rough like track. It was Benson. Benson sent this really rough drum track. He just recorded drums for like this whole I think it was 4 minutes, 20 seconds or something like that.
I like the timing.
Yeah, so he sent that to us. And then he was like, hey, yeah, let's see what we can do with this. And then we were all like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Then you all pull up one, right?
No, la.
kidding. Don't do drugs, kids. Don't do drugs.
Yeah, hashtag stay in drugs. Don't do school. So we pretty much, we started working on that song. And initially, the song also itself, when we first started doing it, it was like, it wasn't coming together, like it was very weird because like we were all so out of writing together, but playing together was still fine, but writing together again was very different now because all of us grew up and we all had different kinds of like influences and stuff. But yeah, the more we kept working at it, this, you know, it's like muscle memory, slowly it comes back to working with each other and like writing cohesive parts and stuff. And that drum track turned out to be the single we released to announce our comeback, which was Zero. Like.
Zero. Oh, yes. My God, that was good shit, dude.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, Matt.
That is really... I was like, huh? This one's from Singapore? Copy la. Confirm some other band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, you guys sure you're Singapore? Oh, wait. Then I found out, Yishun.
Yeah, the Yishun part, I agree la. But from Singapore, confirm, bro. There are so many fucking awesome Singapore bands, man. They all sound fucking legit. You know, like...
True.
Yeah, nowadays, but the standard and like level of production you hear in like local bands now is,
actually, to be honest.
I was saying it satirically,
FYI, just out there.
Mm-hmm.
So Zero was your first release from your debut album called Life of Creation.
Yeah, actually, you guys are hearing the announcement here first, like, that means... We haven't announced anywhere else yet that the album's called Life of Creation.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, but like, dude, the album is called Life of Creation.
Your hashtags are all over the place, la, so I assume that is the album name. La.
It is the album name. It's also like a movement that we are trying to
get going. Spoil something. Fuck.
Nah,
man.
Why? No, it's not spoiling, bro. It's actually the opposite, man. It's like, might as well just let everyone know now who listens to this podcast. That's what the album is going to be called. So, yeah, thank you for asking and noticing, bro. Because the Life of Creation hashtag is pretty much what the whole album concept is based around.
Like, the first thing I thought of was the flower of life. In reference to, like, if you think about it, the first image that comes to your head is the Sempiternal album, la. But it's basically the flower of life, like, essentially. So, that's what I thought, la, when I heard the...
But you guys don't sound anything about Sempiternals,
Different genre, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you can't take anything away from the album, but the album is pretty groundbreaking.
It is. Like, it was, man, in 2011. Okay, so and then, of course, you all released about 1 to 2 weeks ago, Memento Mori. That song blew up. Born of Osiris.
Again,
who?
Thank you, guys.
Who is Born of Osiris? What?
They are fucking legends, man.
But bro, when I least, that's why I said it. Can you guys please come on Spotify?
On Spotify. You know, YouTube now like that, I've got feeling to pay for it just so I can play music in the background and lock my phone.
Dude, that's a massive compliment, bro. So thank you very much, man.
I know now your balls feel very warm from all the that I'm doing, la. But
like you when you were 10 years old.
I know. I mean, a lot of us, especially in like our inner circle of friends and some of them on our outer circle, they are also waiting for the song to be released. But of course, good things take time. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you feel the pressure, don't cave in just yet. Sometimes, you know, the feeling of wanting something that you cannot reach is exactly what you need.
That's so true, man. You know, it's actually all part of marketing planning. Like, one thing is different for us from like everything else we did before, leading up to this moment now where we're creating this kind of music and we want to put the album out, is that I think we take not just the... Like, we always took the recording process and the writing process about the music very seriously. But I think now with, you know, growth and, like, learning a lot about people and life, we're very, very serious about how we package the music and how we want people to be able to enjoy
and
it.
And I personally believe that in your lyrics, you can see that.
Yeah, dude.
For sure.
Your lyrics is, like, what you guys sing about is about life.
Like, the whole...
But how, like, how, like, you, like,
Momento it's... Momento Mori part where you said, I got the keys. What is it called?
I mean, I had the keys all this time.
I've had the keys all this time.
Yeah.
There's no locked doors for the diva. Hoyo.
Oh man, that's all Hyrie, man. That's Hyrie.
I've had the keys all this time. There is no locked doors for the divine. There's been a shift in the paradigm. Hoy.
Yeah.
Bro.
I read the same way like you when I read the lyrics, bro.
I was like
transcending, bro.
Fucking hell. Amrit, you got anything regarding this album? I know you had your own opinions on it, and then
please.
I mean, we all know your choice of music is generally heavier than us.
Much heavier.
You're talking so much, then I just...
You strike already, right?
Yeah, I lost track. I cannot handle too many conversations at once.
Okay, we're talking about their current album now.
Oh, okay.
And because your music choice is, of course, a lot more heavier than us, but you are also into, when it comes to certain bands also, like for example, another Singapore brand, shout out, Terriot, ape shit. Man, like, oh, fuck man, Terriot, bring it to Terriot, man. Amran is, okay. And then, and then when you all released this single, he had the same reaction as well.
I had the same reaction towards Memento Mori because more than zero, I think I preferred this song more.
Oh, sweet.
I think it was like when I listened to zero, it was nice, but I didn't get it. I didn't really get into the song. But then when Memento Mori released, I was like, wow. I was like, wow. And then the name of the song was very nice.
Yeah, very catchy.
That architect song. Same name, right?
Yeah. I had no idea,
architects,
man.
Architects, listen to their, what's the fucking album? After...
I'm
trying to think. Abandon Us. Okay, the last song is called Memento Mori, so...
Damn. That's cool. I will definitely go and check it out, man. I didn't even know that.
I think Praveen put something like, remember that you have to die. That's the meaning of Memento Mori.
Yeah.
Remember
that you will die. Like, all mortal beings, end of day, we will die.
And to be honest, the drums for Memento Mori, it was fucking good.
Thank you so much, man. I'll relay the message to Benson for sure.
You
can just make Benson listen to the podcast.
he'll definitely listen to the podcast, man.
I really focus on drums because drums mostly is like I will listen more to like the cymbals, you know, like the breakdown part. But this one, I was listening to more of the drums than the guitar and everything.
Okay,
I listened to it a few times and I appreciated the song a lot.
Oh, that means so much, man. Thank you so much, bro.
Yeah, no problem. No, always here to support.
And we will support Teh Tani Teh Vidas, bro. Your past three episodes all fucking epic and funny as well.
rough cuts.
Best fucking podcast name ever.
This episode is going to be funny. It's even funnier than what we did, because you are featured in it.
Yes,
and because the following topic that we're gonna talk about, actually you are gonna talk the most. You are a guest today, so you are gonna deliver the story.
Sorry, no blow.
not the ghost you met like a week back or what lah.
No, are you dude? Wow, that fella. Never mind.
I had my doubts on you lah.
Everybody's got doubts about everyone, bro. What are you gonna do?
No lah, but seriously, I have my doubts on you lah.
you got doubts on me, but can't know my girlfriend lah.
Okay, yeah. So now, bro.
I mean,
No, not you, dear. I'm referring to the fella you're referring to.
Hey, probably yesterday also they met a guy like baby.
Mike, don't need Mike.
I'm not gonna share it. But all I can say is #tiger. He calls himself Tiger.
Yishun got a lot of characters there.
Yishun great again.
Next.
So, okay, this album, I noticed the album art is of course done by yours truly, Mr.
Yeah, bro.
Pravintage.
Yeah, hey, explain to us how you go around with making the artwork.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's actually another fun aspect about, like, remember when I mentioned about taking it seriously? Like, I think nowadays, when it comes to making, like, artwork for the songs and stuff like that, it's like, how do you say it? Because of the meaning and, like, the thought process and the idea behind the song itself, like, even the title, Memento Mori, Remember That You Must Die, it makes making the artwork very easy, actually, because it gives me so much things. Yeah, it gives me so much things that I can go and research on and stuff like that. So the first thing I went to research for the Memento Mori artwork was what does the phrase even mean? And then after I found out what it meant, like, there's really cool stuff about it. One of the ways the phrase was used, right, was apparently, I can't remember in what civilization or which time period, but it was when like, you know, in the ancient times when a general won the war with his army, he always had like a servant or a slave. I'm not sure what that title was given to that person, but that person would stand behind the general at his victory parade. And when the army saluted the general, that servant's job was to whisper into the general's ear, "Remember that you will die."
Phew.
And yeah, and so, you know, stuff like that, it made it like fucking interesting to go and research on. And then so I went deeper into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, continue, bro. You say.
No. So means what? So why do they go and tell it to the king?
It's like a it's supposed to be a reminder.
Don't get this.
I want to
get
into your head,
So like more like if the king feels too shocked and leery, like, yeah, bro, you don't know about me, bro. I just whacked up that guy that so more like got one servant to come and remind him, bro. You don't
know. That's
like, you don't think big fuck, bro. End of the day, right? You're gonna die.
He playing mind games there.
At the end of the day, I guess it was something that was there, like Charmy mentioned, like to make sure it doesn't go to your head, you know?
I
think that idea in itself already is such a very important thing you should always remember in life when it comes to treating people around you.
Humbling yourself, exactly. Essentially.
Because at the end of the day, we're all the same. We all come here and then we all die. And like everything you do in between, you know, like that pretty much defines you. And it was really fun. And then I realized that, coming back to the artwork, I realized that it had a lot to do with Christianity. It was a Latin Christian term, I think. If my memory serves me right, like, it's a Latin Christian term. And all of the artwork that related to that term in that period had three key elements about it, which was a skull, an hourglass, and a flower or a plant, which was meant to represent life, death, and time. So when I came up with the artwork for Memento Mori, I mean, the key thing was to keep these three elements in the piece. And then I was trying to figure out, like, you know, because I like the idea of time a lot, because that is the ultimate thing between both the other elements. So if you look at the artwork, you can see that the top part, because you know there's like the flowers with eyes in them. Pretty much. So essentially the flowers with the eyes in them are supposed to represent also the process, the passage through time, where the first row of flowers at the top, the eyes are closed, because you know you don't really know anything. Your eyes are closed to what's happening around you. The second one is the eyes are open, and then looking out and now realizing things around you. And the third one is the eyes are looking back at the self, at the skeleton in the hourglass, about realizing who we are. And then finally, those flowers bloom at the bottom part, where there's two more flowers, where the bottom one, when you once you've bloomed and you're looking out at the world again, you look at it differently because you have remembered now and you understand this concept that we are all mortal and we're all going to die. And the last set of eyes.
What the fuck, bro? Honestly, I've never seen so much meaning to an artwork.
No, I mean, it's effort, lah. You know, like it was easy to come up with the concept because the topic itself is always so strong.
Yeah.
And yeah, essentially, the last set of eyes on the last set of flowers represent this new understanding, looking at who you want to be and what you can do, because at the end of the day, we all die. Lah. And that was the fun part. That's like pretty much how I approach making artwork for our songs nowadays, lah.
I got one question.
Yeah, bro.
I mean, the thing you see, I mean, I enjoy the symmetry in a lot of things, like. And I mean, your artwork is pretty symmetrical. So if you fold it in half, it's essentially what you get on the other side. Yeah. One thing I took notice of is actually why the skull got one like diamond shape in the head,
So essentially, they're supposed to.
Came
up fast, sial. Why got diamond team? Reaction time.
Yishun
team, bro. Diamond team.
I mean, you know, from now on, I'm just going to refer to that diamond as a team. That's a way better idea, man. So, yeah, that's my answer. It's a team. Gangster.
Alamak.
It's just a tiam, bro. He's been through a lot. Diamond means work hard for it, bro. Must dig and then get the diamond out.
The tattoo artist pressed too hard, lah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Bones.
So like, I mean, the art, I guess the conceptual reason behind that crack in the eye, in the forehead was, it was supposed to represent. Yeah, exactly.
I see.
Yeah, a lot of these kind of concepts come when you get particularly interested in, you know, spirituality and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which is essentially the driving force behind Heidi's writing for the album and the lyrics
tell me the way he writes, which is honestly very interesting. Yeah, like you just like wake up out of the blue and then like I need to pen this down now, I need to do it. I mean, we've all had instances where we have some like weird, absurd shit dream or whatnot, and then like, you want to wake up and tell someone about it or text it. Then you just probably like do it halfway, and then you're just typing out gibberish, and then you like send to the person, and you just look like an idiot. But this guy actually wrote a fucking song, mid-sleep, bro. So to me, that is like, bro, don't do this to yourself, bro. But yeah, of course, the outcome is good nonetheless, lah.
It's beautiful, bro.
It's
I
guess it's striking when the iron is hot, lah.
Yeah, true, you know. True.
Yeah,
cool. Great again.
So you guys just released two songs. So what can we expect? I mean, we are not forcing you for an answer. You can even say no comment. So yeah. So what can we expect? I mean, I love two of your songs. I told you even
thank you very much, bro.
That when I first listened to Zero, I was like, wow, fuck, not bad, good. I hear the momentum more. Movie. Then now I have an internal debate which song I like better. So it's quite hard for me. And you guys got your sound done already. Like anywhere y'all can play, right? I can say okay, that one confirm
Heaven is Heaven Brought Me Hell. Yeah.
Oh damn, man, that's such a beautiful compliment, man. Yeah. Thank you so much. It really means a lot because
it's a unique sound. It's a unique sound. How yours?
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much, man. I guess it's important because like throughout the whole process of like from the past 10 years when we've been playing. It's a lot about, you know, just trying to, which actually brings me back to the question just now you asked us about how we sound now and how we sound then, why we're so different. The answer is actually because I think throughout the process, right, we were trying to write music that we always wanted to write. And like from a collective standpoint as a group for us, we always had an idea of where the sound was headed. Mm-hmm. And each new song that we came up with or each new idea that we had was mm-hmm. always trying to push like the previous song.
Mm-hmm.
Like what's the cool parts about this song? And then we create something new and then we incorporate other cool things that we've heard or that we think will sound really fucking cool.
Yeah, but yeah.
We still wanted it to you know, like make it ours because we have like little jokes in the studio and stuff like where we're like, you know, it's not a HBMH song if you don't put this in or, you know, stuff like that. And then, so we have those kind of things and then we also have the drive to like really push the sound to wherever we think it can go next and that it would be really fucking fun and theatrical.
Yeah.
We are pretty serious in the studio, but we never ever get too serious to the point where we're like, hey, no, I think this one really cannot. We need to take this out. We need to really go and change it, man. Something is damn wrong. Like, it's never like that. It's just like, you know, there's this part. Like, hey, this part will be funny, yeah. Then, someone will just be like, add a bell, Everyone will be like, huh? Add a bell? Add a bell for fuck.
Cowbell,
but then
cowbell.
We add the bell.
Cowbell.
Yeah.
There's never not enough cowbells.
Bro, not cowbell, bro. They added a church bell,
Yeah, you see.
Cowbell, yeah, and then, wow. And, they think because, so. Time for some, is it?
Speaking of which, right, I mean, I have to mention also that I do play in a band with you guys, Shami and Tipa. And now, Amrit, you mentioned Taipusam, right? I really, really want to have one song with a breakdown where the drums is the Urmi Melam.
Allah!
Must have.
I know someone who does Urmi, so maybe you can contact him.
Oh, that'll be awesome, bro.
When the time comes,
Yeah. I think it'd be really fucking fun fusion to pull off, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so
thanks for the shout out for our own band also. Own self chat,
yeah,
own self, basically.
Yeah. Own self chat, own self.
So since we are on the topic, right, I mean, regarding your album art and then the music style, the lyrics and all that. So it's very supernatural, very creepy. It's
spiritual, so, I'll say.
Okay. To the closed mind, it's a very scary thing, lah.
So, to normies lah. Why you must growl and scream in your lyrics all? Why can
you? No, first thing, screaming equals to satanic, bro.
Yeah, correct.
If you scream, you are satanic, bro. You worship the devil badly, bro.
If my mother screaming, she angry, lah.
Ayo, itu pun tak kita yang dah pisah.
Okay, so.
Murah.
Okay. Serious note now. So since you are on this, right? Amran, do you have any experiences regarding
supernatural? I think, right, we just end this episode first, then we can do a recording for the next episode.
Okay.
Yeah,
then.
So the next episode will be about ghost supernatural, or something supernatural out of music topic completely.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay.
So, with that, we end off... still featuring our Praveen Vintage lah.
What up?
So today was a lucky one. Supposed to be one episode, but we are giving you an extra episode.
I am very honest. I really am, man. Thank you guys so much.
Because of Venga, bro.
Venga.
Dude, you cannot say name, da. Why you say the name?
No, because Venga is a very important character in Ishu and Kati.
Dude, I want him to be my guest.
I want the whole of Ishun and Kate to know about him.
He's our resident ghost whisperer.
Okay, so again, guys, just watch out for Heaven Brought Me Hell. A very, very experienced but up and coming in terms of writing their songs.
Yep. Yeah, so, man. Album will be out early 2020. Wow. We are going to start gigging again soon once we're done with the album.
That is what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, nice. Man. Merch is dropping soon as well. We've got music videos coming out.
No, but
and,
one thing, you got merch, right? Your size S better not sell out,
because
we will cry.
I will cry.
It means so much. Just send me all this feedback there. I'll make sure that everything is perfect for everyone.
T-shirt.
Yeah, I know. Hey, yeah, so I also want a Terrier t-shirt, man. I really do.
Shami will always compliment about the Terrier t-shirt. Then like, Shami, why never buy? No lah, I don't have my size lah. They be like picking on him, you know.
Oh, yeah. By the way, can I just say, the Terrier t-shirt artwork also really fucking legit. Damn nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So, props to the artist, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, so of course, again, guys, follow them on their Instagram, their YouTube.
Please go check out their Twitter, right?
Spotify as well. We have one song on Spotify now. It's not from the new album, but it's one of the older songs. Yeah, Lavender. We will definitely be releasing stuff on Spotify before the year ends, hopefully.
Yes.
We're working on it.
Yeah, see, got material for Tipa to wank tonight already. That's it.
Yeah, and I just want to say I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for having me to talk about the band and inviting me to come on and share about it and all the nice things you said about us, man.
We are very happy.
Support each other, man.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, of course, with that, we can end off and sign off with our bottom wisdom.
Bye-bye.
You got my Kotai plastic on my left. And of course...
haven't changed the world peace lah. Soon.
Haven't yet. And of course, Mr. P Vintage FTW. Follow him on whatever social media.
Pepunda P-boy lah.
Pepunda P-boy.
Oh my god. Okay. Sign off.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
All right, man. Take care. Good night. Bye.